The Poor Wife of the Billionaire. Chapter 31. Annabelle 1. Heather looked in disbelief at the scene playing out in front of her. Kurt, the manager of the shop, just apologized to Annabelle in person. How could this be possible? Bella couldn't help but ask Kurt, "What is going on? Did you make a mistake? Why did you apologize to her? Heather likes this dress. You know her. She's Brock's favorite granddaughter. If you offend her, it's the same as offending the entire Norman family. Do you realize the consequences of such an action? Can you afford to bear it?" But Kurt didn't even pay any attention to Bella. He wiped the sweat off his forehead and said, "Miss Hewitt, as part of our apology, we will give this dress to you for free. I sincerely hope you're not angry." Just now, he had received a call from Anika, who was in charge of Leo's studio. She told him that her friend had been treated unfairly in RD Boutique store and asked him to solve the matter and make sure Annabelle was satisfied. If he didn't do it, Leo's studio would terminate the contract with RD Boutique. It had not been easy for RD Boutique to gain the opportunity to partner with Leo's studio. If Leo's studio decided to terminate the partnership, the losses RD Boutique would suffer would be incalculable. Therefore, no matter what the price was, Kurt was willing to pay it, just to make sure that Annabelle was satisfied with the customer service. Free gift? Heather, on the other hand, rubbed her ears in shock. Did she hear him right? The dress was worth 10 million. Why would Kurt give it to Annabelle for free? Wait. Are you sure you want to lose all that money? Heather asked with a frown. Look, I'll buy the dress. I'll pay 3 times the price. I'm sorry. This dress belongs to Miss Hewitt, Kurt replied with a smile. Why don't you look at other clothes? We have other high-end dresses that. I only want that one. Heather couldn't hold back her anger any longer. All her life, she had never failed to get what she wanted. Seeing that Heather was being unreasonable, Annabelle stood up and said to Kurt in a domineering tone, "You don't have to give it to me for free. I'll send someone to deliver the check here tomorrow." Then she turned around and made for the exit. She didn't want to argue any more with those two. After all, she had an appointment with Marcel in the evening. She didn't want to be late. "Stop, Annabelle!" Heather called after her. "Did you ask Rupert to stand up for you?" Heather didn't know that Annabelle had called Anika, not Rupert. In her mind, Annabelle was just a country bumpkin who knew no one and had virtually no real connections other than Rupert. Why did Rupert care so much about Annabelle? Why did he defend her even against the Norman family? Seeing the angry look on Heather's face, Annabelle felt very delighted. She raised her eyebrows and asked, "What do you think?" "Annabelle, you're so shameless. What else can you do apart from seducing men? Do you think Rupert loves you?" Heather was furious and jealous. "If he doesn't love me, do you think he loves you?" Annabelle retorted with a sneer. "You bitch!" Heather cursed angrily. Annabelle's words hit her so hard that her face was twisted in anger. She raised her hand with the intention of landing a slap on Annabelle's face. But Kurt quickly jumped in between them. From the conversation between Heather and Annabelle, he had come to understand that there was an unusual relationship between Annabelle and Rupert. He knew who Rupert was. He was a very powerful and influential man. No one could afford to offend Rupert. With this in mind, Kurt immediately asked the security guard to stop Heather and Bella from getting close to Annabelle. "Miss Hewitt, I'm sorry for all the trouble so far. Please accept my apologies," he said with a bow. Annabelle smiled and walked out. She was content with leaving Heather in the dark and letting her think that it was Rupert standing up for her. Heather was so angry that she was gritting her teeth in fury. Annabelle had won the battle of words. Before long, night fell. And at 7 o'clock in the evening, Annabelle arrived right on time to keep her appointment. Charming Bar was the most luxurious bar in Daubug. The customers here were either rich or influential. "Annabelle, here. Marcel waved his hand. He and some of his friends in the entertainment industry had been drinking and playing finger-guessing games. With a smile, Annabelle walked up to him and said, "Mark, your new game is finished so soon? Congratulations." Marcel pulled out a chair for her and said, "Annabelle, sit here. What would you like to drink? How about red wine? Let me pour you some wine." Annabelle smiled and shook her head. She didn't like drinking wine. "No, thanks. I'll just take some soft drinks. Come on, just a little. Today is my birthday." Marcel poured half a glass of wine for Annabelle and another full glass for himself. "Annabelle, let me propose a toast to you. I should be the one proposing a toast to you, Mark. Happy birthday." Annabelle emptied the glass in one gulp. "Wow." Marcel praised, clapping loudly. Annabelle chatted with Marcel for a while. All of a sudden, a beautiful song came from the center of the dance floor. Following the direction of the sound, Annabelle saw a young girl in a red dress singing in the center of the stage. She had curly shoulder-length hair. Her voice was also very melodious, making the song she was singing sound so sweet. Seeing that Annabelle was staring at the girl, Marcel informed her, "That's the singer of the bar. Her name seems to be Angel. She sings well." Annabelle nodded in approval. Marcel grinned. "Yes, she's good, but not as good as you. Annabelle, I haven't heard you sing for a long time. Why don't you sing a song for me as a birthday gift?" "Yeah. Sing a song for Mark," his friends urged. "Come on, Annabelle," Marcel urged, too. When he was 17, Annabelle's wonderful singing left a deep impression on him. "Okay." Annabelle agreed. After all, the bar was a place where customers could sing songs. Under the warm applause of the crowd, Annabelle, wearing a white dress, slowly walked over to the center of the stage. "This song is for my good friend Marcel. Happy birthday to him." It was a French song. It was very melodious and intoxicating. In the VIP box on the second floor, the tall and straight figure of a man was hidden in the dim light. His eyes were fixed intently on the beautiful young woman singing on the stage. Rupert had come here to talk business with a client, but he had not expected to see Annabelle. He remembered Annabelle had an appointment with someone in the bar, and he pulled a long face. It turned out that the person Annabelle had an appointment with was Marcel. Seeing the dark look on Rupert's face, the client said to him, "Mr. Benton, please have a taste of this beer. It's the latest special beer of Charming Bar. It tastes really good." Turning to look at the beer, Rupert felt annoyed. He wondered if Annabelle knew what she was doing. Nominally, she was his fiancée, but she was seeing another man in a bar and singing for him. Rupert's face went dark with anger. But his client was confused, wondering if he had said something wrong that irritated Rupert. Chapter 32 First Kiss. When Annabelle finished singing the song, thunderous applause resounded through the bar. Someone even started chanting, "One more song. One more song." With a polite smile, Annabelle stepped down and went back to Marcel's table. "Annabelle, you sing so well. It's the sound of nature. You sing far better than Angel," Marcel praised. "You flatter me too much," Annabelle said with a grin. "Please excuse me. I want to go to the bathroom." Perhaps it was because she had taken her wine a little hastily that she felt discomfort in her stomach. As she approached the door of the bathroom, a middle-aged man in a suit and leather shoes stopped her. "Are you a new singer here?" he asked. Annabelle looked up at him and saw that he was a middle-aged man with a beer belly. Wearing such an expensive designer suit didn't seem appropriate for someone like him. At first glance, he looked just like an upstart. With an expressionless face, Annabelle shook her head and said, "I'm not." The man grabbed her arm and put a stack of money into her hand. He looked her up and down with his lust-filled eyes and licked his lips. "Come on, beauty, just stay with me for one night. All this money will be yours." When he saw her singing on the stage earlier, he was fascinated and wanted to kiss her. He didn't expect to meet her at the bathroom. He swallowed and stared straight at her chest, with dirty thoughts running through his mind. With a frown, Annabelle took a few steps back and threw the stack of money at him. "Get out of my way," she said angrily. Seeing that Annabelle rejected his offer, the man pulled a long face. "Aren't you just a singer at the bar? Don't you mean to seduce men? You're fortunate that I chose you." Annabelle could hardly believe her ears. How could such a disgusting man feel so good about himself? She took a few more steps back and warned, "If you don't leave now, I'll teach you a lesson." But the man had no intention of leaving. He grabbed her shoulders with both hands, and pressed her into his arms. "Don't be shy. As long as you serve me well, I promise you will have a good life in the future." Annabelle felt sick at the sight of the man up close, and she was just about to kick him when a familiar voice came from behind her. "Let her go." The next second, the man screamed and fell heavily to the floor. At the same time, Rupert's tall and strong figure appeared in front of Annabelle. He had his foot on the man's chest, his face cold and emotionless. Annabelle was stunned. "Rupert? Why was he here? Who the fuck are you?" The middle-aged man was fuming mad, even though he was at Rupert's mercy. "Do you know who I am? How dare you attack me? Believe it or not, I'll make you suffer for." It was at this point that he suddenly realized that the man standing over him was none other than Rupert Benton. The man shivered in fear and began to beg for mercy. "Mr. Benton, I didn't know it's you. Do you also have a crush on this woman? I'll leave her to you. Please forgive me." Rupert looked down at him with his cold eyes, and the temperature in the place seemed to have dropped to zero all of a sudden. "Get out of here," he barked angrily. Okay, I'll leave." The man rolled on the floor and struggled to his feet before fleeing the place as fast as his legs could carry him. Annabelle looked at Rupert until she finally recovered from her surprise. "Thank you." Regardless of what she felt, Rupert just helped her, though she didn't really need his help. Rupert's expression was still as cold as ice. Suddenly, a strong sense of oppression overwhelmed her. Annabelle took a step back and said, "I have an appointment with my friend. I'm leaving now." But when she turned around to leave, Rupert's arm was wrapped around her thin waist, and he pulled her into the men's restroom. "Rupert, what are you doing?" Annabelle gasped in shock. Luckily, there was no one inside the restroom. Rupert locked the door and pressed Annabelle against it, holding her in place to prevent her from moving. "Annabelle, do you forget what you are?" Rupert demanded, his cold eyes narrowed. "What's wrong with you? Let go of me. My friend is waiting for me." Annabelle struggled hard to get out of his iron grip, but it was all to no avail. "Marcel." Rupert scoffed, his face becoming colder. It was clear that he was very angry. "Annabelle, listen carefully. You are my fiancé." Previously, when he saw her singing a song to Marcel, he was very angry. But just now, when he saw her with that disgusting man outside the bathroom, he became even angrier. "So what?" Annabelle wondered why he was being so angry. She didn't do anything to offend him, did she? "My fiancé should behave herself, not seducing men." Rupert pressed her shoulders with both hands and glared at her pretty face as he emphasized each word. "What? When did she seduce men? Was there a mistake or what?" Annabelle was shocked to hear this and asked him, "Did you see me seducing any man?" "I did." With knitted brows, Rupert tightened his grip on her shoulders. Just now, when he pulled her into the restroom, he saw she was wearing Leo's dress. Leo's dresses were very expensive. It had to be a gift from Marcel. If Marcel and Annabelle had nothing to do with each other, how could he give her such an expensive dress? "Rupert, that's enough." Being accused for seducing men, Annabelle became furious. The man was unreasonable. The fact that he was staring at her like this made Annabelle even angrier. Don't forget that we will call off the engagement in 3 months. So, what if I seduce men, huh? What does it have to do with you? Are you so cheap? Rupert was irritated and disgusted. He stared at her cherry-like mouth with cold eyes and suddenly kissed her. The scalding temperature from his lips made Annabelle's body tremble, and her brain went down for a few seconds. It took a while before she realized what exactly was going on. Rupert was such a bastard. How dare he kiss her? This was her first kiss. Chapter 33 Misunderstanding. At first, Rupert just wanted to punish Annabelle. But her lips were so soft and sweet, and they seemed to have a magical effect on him, making him deeply addicted to them. This feeling was so strong that he couldn't help but deepen the kiss. The sudden kiss made Annabelle feel shy and angry. Rupert was 50 bossy that he pried her lips and teeth open with his tongue. Then he slid it into her mouth and kept kissing her passionately. Annabelle could hardly breathe. Her heart was pounding. She wanted to push Rupert away, but he was pressing her hands to the door. The temperature in the restroom continued to rise. All of a sudden, Annabelle bit down hard on his lip. The smell of blood hit her nostrils almost immediately. Feeling the pain of the bite, Rupert quickly let go of her. Finally, she could breathe. Annabelle took a few deep breaths to calm herself down. She patted her burning face and gritted her teeth, glaring at the man in front of her. "Rupert, you're a bastard." Rupert's face darkened and he stared at Annabelle intently. Did this woman hate him so much? Once she even bit him. Thinking of when Annabelle sang to Marcel just minutes ago, Rupert couldn't help but imagine a scene where the two acted intimately. Instantly, his handsome face became hard and cold. He wiped the blood off his lips and said with a growl, "Marcel is not suitable for you." "What?" Annabelle was irritated. She only saw Marcel like a brother, nothing else. It seemed Rupert misunderstood the relationship between her and Marcel. But so what? What was the relationship between her and Rupert anyway? He had no right to interfere. "It's none of your business." With one last fiery glare, Annabelle opened the door and left. It was enough. She didn't want to be with such a dangerous man as Rupert for even one moment. Looking at Annabelle's retreating figure, Rupert frowned slightly. He didn't know why he couldn't control his emotions in front of Annabelle. It was certainly not a good feeling. After being forcefully kissed by Rupert, Annabelle was not in the mood to talk to Marcel and his friends anymore. She called him on the phone and said to him, "I'm leaving." "Annabelle, what happened? Are you okay?" Marcel asked in concern, surprised at the unusual tone of her voice. "Nothing. I just feel a little uncomfortable," Annabelle said, swiftly coming up with an excuse. Marcel stood up in a hurry and asked, "Annabelle, where are you? I'll take you back." "No, thanks," Annabelle refused. But Marcel was determined to take her home. He took the elevator to the first floor and waited for her at the gate. When Annabelle reached the gate, she was surprised to see Marcel waiting for her. "Annabelle, are you okay?" Marcel asked, hurrying forward to meet her. Annabelle smiled. "I'm fine. Why are you here?" "I want to take you home," Marcel insisted. Seeing that she could not change his mind, Annabelle nodded and said, "Okay. Wait a minute. Let me drive the car over," Marcel said in his gentlemanly manner. "Okay." 5 minutes later, Marcel drove his Maserati to the gate and stopped in front of Annabelle. "Come on, get in," Marcel said, opening the door for her. "Thanks," Annabelle said with a smile as she settled down in the passenger seat. Meanwhile, Rupert went back to his private box. His client was waiting patiently for him. "Mr. Benton, you're back." Rupert's face remained dark as the scenes at the restroom kept flashing through his mind. That kiss had him intoxicated. But Annabelle's rejection made him very unhappy. Thinking of the scene where Annabelle left angrily, Rupert became very worried about her. It was so late. Would she be in danger again? I have to leave now. Rupert said suddenly and got up again. Without another word, he left the box, leaving his client in shock. When Rupert arrived at the gate, he was just in time to see Annabelle getting into Marcel's car. He saw the two of them talking and laughing, and the smile on Annabelle's face was different from the way she looked at him minutes ago at the restroom. Marcel stepped on the gas and drove away. Rupert's expression became even scarier. Mr. Benton, are you okay? Rupert's client asked in concern when he came out and saw Rupert standing at the gate. Rupert gave him a cold glance and said, let's go back and drink. Marcel took Annabelle back to the Benton family's house and dropped her off. Thank you, she said gratefully. Don't mention it. Annabelle was his idol. Marcel would do anything for her. When she got to her room, Annabelle quickly washed herself in the bathroom and lay down to rest. The scenes at the bar's restroom suddenly began to replay in her mind. The unexpected kiss from Rupert couldn't be expelled from her thoughts. She tossed and turned in bed until midnight. Rupert, you bastard. Annabelle cursed for the umpteenth time. She felt that it was all his fault that she couldn't fall asleep. It was the first time that she had suffered from insomnia. Pursing her dry lips, Annabelle stood up and went to get some water, but she found that there was no water in the room. She would have to go downstairs to the kitchen to get some water. But as she went down the stairs, she suddenly heard footsteps. Annabelle became alert immediately. It was late at night. Could it be a thief moving around in the house? Annabelle tiptoed and hid behind the nearest door. If it was really a thief, she would have to find a way to remain hidden. Just then, the front door was suddenly opened and a tall figure staggered in, reeking of alcohol. It was none other than Rupert. With a sigh of relief, Annabelle came out of her hiding place and headed towards the kitchen, but all of a sudden, a strong hand grabbed her. Rupert, what are you doing? Annabelle screamed. She lost her balance and fell. Coincidentally, Rupert fell before she did. He groaned as Annabelle fell right on top of him. What was worse, her lips landed on his and she could perceive the strong smell of alcohol from him. Annabelle quickly stood up and frowned. What happened to Rupert? Was he drunk? But why did he drink so much? Annabelle looked down at the figure lying on the floor and decided to ignore him. Candy. He murmured. When Annabelle turned around and tried to walk away, Rupert grabbed her. Don't leave me, Candy, he said in a low and hoarse voice with so much sadness in it. Candy. Who the hell was that? Annabelle was totally confused. Candy was certainly a female name. Was that the name of the girl that Rupert loved? Did he think she was that girl? Rupert, let go of me. Annabelle scolded when he tried to pull her down on top of him again. Chapter 34 The Kiss. Rupert was so drunk that his vision was blurred. When he opened his eyes, he saw a pretty girl standing in front of him. She looked so sweet and familiar. All of a sudden, he seemed to have returned to the days when he was 13. He and the girl were locked up in a dark room. There were guards outside and there was also a fierce dog inside. Rupert had always been afraid of dogs since he was a little child, so the girl held him in her arms to make him feel protected. Dogs are not scary at all, but if you act scared, they will bark at you. In the darkness, the girl's big eyes twinkled like stars in the night sky, lighting up Rupert's heart. The two of them leaned against each other in silence. After a while, the girl joked, "Does this mean I've saved your life? If not for me, you would have been scared to death by this dog. So, you should marry me when we grow up." "Okay." He nodded in agreement. In his drunken state, the girl standing in front of him and the figure in his memory seemed to be one and the same. Rupert asked, "Candy, do you remember? We were locked up together in that dark room. You saved me from the big dog and you also bandaged my wound." "Dark room? Big dog? Bandage his wound?" Annabelle felt a headache, as if something flashed through her memory. But unfortunately, she couldn't grasp any of it. Candy, do you know I've been looking for you all these years? It's so good to finally see you again, Rupert murmured, holding Annabelle's hand and rubbing it on his lips. He perceived a unique kind of sweet scent from her hand, leaving him in no doubt that this was his candy. Candy, you smell so good. Rupert was intoxicated by her scent. Rupert, you're drunk. Let go of me. Annabelle scolded. When this man was drunk, there was nothing she could. No, I won't let you go, Rupert refused, holding her hand tightly. Please don't leave me, Candy. All right, let me help you to your room. Annabelle surrendered. She wanted to get rid of him quickly. After all, she couldn't just stay in the living room with him throughout the night. She would just be kind and take him up to his room. Annabelle tried to pull him up to his feet, but he was just so heavy. Rupert, get up quickly. Don't just lie here on the floor. Rupert looked up at her with his unfocused eyes and murmured, okay, Candy. I'll get up. Annabelle was confused. Who the hell was this Candy? Rupert was nearly 1.9 meters tall. He looked slim in his clothes, but he was in fact a big man. Annabelle, on the other hand, was only 1.65 meters tall. It was really hard for her to keep Rupert standing and prevent him from falling back down. Rupert put his arm around her shoulders and leaned on her. His face was resting on the side of her head, and his warm breath was fanning her face. Such closeness made Annabelle feel a little uncomfortable. The kiss at the restroom of the bar flashed through her mind again. She shifted to his side, but Rupert moved even closer to her. She was trying her best to resist the urge to just dump him right there and walk away. Gritting her teeth, she held him up and managed to help him climb up the stairs. When Annabelle finally reached his floor and was about to breathe a sigh of relief, she heard a woman screaming, "What are you doing?" Annabelle looked up and saw that it was Kathy. Annabelle was too tired to explain to her, so she just stepped around her and helped Rupert to his room. "Stop, Annabelle!" Kathy shouted after her. She had woken up in the middle of the night and heard some noises in the living room, so she went out to see what was going on. But as soon as she stepped out of her room, she saw Annabelle and Rupert holding each other intimately. She took a closer look and found that Rupert appeared to be drunk. Kathy had never seen Rupert get drunk since she came to the Benton family at the age of 7. She couldn't just stay calm and overlook it. For crying out loud, Rupert was dead drunk. And he was being supported by Annabelle. It was clear to her that Annabelle wanted to seduce Rupert and sleep with him. She marched forward and grabbed Annabelle by the arm, demanding an explanation. "Why did you get Rupert drunk in the middle of the night? Are you trying to seduce him?" Annabelle looked at Kathy indifferently and scoffed. "I'm his fiancé. So, he's mine. Do you think I need to get him drunk to seduce him, Annabelle?" Kathy bit her lip and followed behind Annabelle. "He doesn't need your help." "Okay. Then you should hold him." Annabelle dumped Rupert in her arms. She was glad to finally be rid of her burden. "Rupert, are you okay?" Kathy asked, looking at Rupert's face. But her eyes had an obsessed look in them. Annabelle was shocked. She knew what this look meant. She had seen this kind of look in Heather's eyes, and in Nina's too. Was Kathy also in love with Rupert? But wasn't she Rupert's cousin? They were blood relatives. After watching Kathy help Rupert back to his room, Annabelle shook her head and turned around to make her way back to her room. Kathy managed to get Rupert in bed and helped him take off his shoes. "Rupert, what happened? Why did you drink so much?" Rupert opened his dazed eyes and grumbled in disappointment, "You're not Candy." "What? What did you say?" Kathy asked. Her ears had not picked up clearly what he just said. But Rupert didn't repeat himself. He simply closed his eyes and fell asleep. Sitting on the edge of the bed, Kathy stared intently at the handsome face of the sleeping man in front of her. Rupert was already snoring softly. His facial expression was a little softer than when he was awake. In fact, he was even more handsome and attractive now. But Kathy's heart was aching badly. Rupert, why don't you notice me? I don't want you to see me only as your cousin. Kathy murmured in disappointment. She had fallen for Rupert since she was 14. But Rupert only treated her as his cousin. But she wasn't really his cousin. She was adopted by Rupert's aunt. Her eyes were full of love and admiration. She slowly bent down and kissed the man she had secretly been in love with for so many years. When Annabelle got back to her room, she found a diamond button in her hand. She recognized it as one of the cufflinks on the sleeves of Rupert's suit. She must have torn it off by accident as she helped him up the stairs. After thinking for a while, Annabelle turned around and went back to Rupert's room, with the intention of returning the button to the owner. She didn't want to be falsely accused of stealing. When she got to Rupert's room, she found that the door was slightly open. So, she pushed it further and stepped in. Rupert, I... But the words froze on Annabelle's lips. She was stunned by the sight in front of her. Kathy was kissing Rupert. Chapter 35 Your Candy. At the sound of the voice, Kathy turned around and saw Annabelle standing at the door. Her heart skipped a beat. With a frown, Annabelle demanded, Kathy, what are you doing? Kathy could not maintain eye contact as she answered, Rupert is drunk, so I was wiping his mouth. So, you had to wipe it with your own mouth, eh? Annabelle asked in a mocking tone. Then she looked down at Rupert. His eyes were closed and his breath came evenly. He seemed to be fast asleep. Judging from how drunk he was, he did not know what Kathy did. Was there a secret relationship between the two? But Annabelle quickly expelled the idea from her mind. Not long ago, Rupert had called her Candy, which was quite different from Kathy. Moreover, with his high status in society, it was impossible for Rupert to fall in love with his cousin. Most likely, whatever Kathy was doing was nothing but a product of her wishful thinking. I'm warning you, don't talk nonsense. Kathy warned, her eyes filled with apprehension. To Rupert, she had always been a cousin. If he knew that she had secretly kissed him, Kathy didn't dare to think about what would happen. Annabelle gave her a quick glance and scoffed. I'm not interested in telling anyone. But Kathy, I'm warning you, as long as I'm still engaged to Rupert, you'd better stop your dirty thoughts and acts. Or you'll find out the consequences of a scandal about you falling in love with your cousin trending on the internet. How dare you? Kathy screamed. Rushing forward, she lifted her hand and was about to slap Annabelle. Annabelle grabbed her arm and pushed her back, sending her stumbling to the floor. Annabelle, how dare you push me? Kathy felt pain all over her body and her face was dark with anger. But Annabelle didn't even look at her. With a sneer, she turned and left the room without looking back. After returning to her room, Annabelle sat down on the bed and thought for a while before picking up her phone and sending a message to Anthony. Help me check the relationship between Kathy Benton and Rupert Benton. Anthony and Ada were two of the world's most famous hackers. Their superb skills had shocked the world many times. But Ada was the more mysterious one. It was said that she was Anthony's teacher. Actually, Ada was Annabelle. But she was not Anthony's teacher. Long ago, Anthony had tried to attack her business, Star Entertainment, but Annabelle had discovered the attempt and stopped the attack in time. After that, they became good friends. Ada, it's late. Can you let me sleep? This was the response she got from Anthony. Cut the crap. Just do as I say. Annabelle and Anthony always bickered. It's just a simple piece of information, Ada. You can handle it in 5 minutes. Why do you need me? Anthony whined. Annabelle sent him an eye roll emoji. I'm lazy. Hurry up. 10 minutes later, Anthony sent Annabelle detailed information about Kathy. Rupert's aunt had adopted Kathy from an orphanage, so Kathy had no blood relationship with Rupert. Annabelle narrowed her eyes as she read the information. No wonder Kathy had a crush on Rupert and she was always picking on her simply because she was Rupert's fiancé. Annabelle began to doubt whether she had made the right decision by agreeing to her grandfather's 3-month agreement. At this point, she could only hope that the 3 months would pass as soon as possible. Then she would break off the engagement to Rupert and everything would be over. She could finally be herself again and do whatever she wanted to do. Eventually, the most unpleasant weekend in history finally came to an end. On the second day, Annabelle went to Benton Group very early in the morning. Sitting at her desk, she was reading through the materials of the cooperation project with Lady Fashion. But all of a sudden, there was a loud bang. Nina had dumped a large pile of documents on Annabelle's desk, making the desk shake as if there was an earthquake. Annabelle looked up and frowned. "What are you doing?" Looking down at Annabelle, Nina ordered, "Enter these data and finish it before noon." Annabelle glanced at the large pile of documents and shook her head. "Finish it before noon?" Was she kidding? She looked at Nina and said, "I'm sorry. I'm now in charge of the cooperation project with Lady Fashion. These materials have nothing to do with this project. You'd better ask someone else to enter them." Nina's face darkened and she retorted angrily, "I asked you to enter them. Don't you see that everyone else is busy?" Annabelle rolled her eyes. Did she look so idle? Clearing her throat, Annabelle reminded her calmly, "Mr. Benton said that I only need to be responsible for the project with Lady Fashion. I don't need to do anything else." Nina's expression became even angrier and she was about to say something, but suddenly, the landline on Annabelle's desk started ringing. Annabelle looked at the screen and saw the number 888. That was the CEO's line. She picked it up immediately and answered it. "Hello, this is Annabelle from the secretarial department. Send me a cup of coffee," Rupert ordered from the other end of the line. Annabelle was stunned. Did Rupert just ask her to bring coffee to him? Before she could ask him to repeat himself, Rupert hung up. She would just do it then. Putting the phone away, Annabelle stood up and said to Nina, "You heard that, right? Mr. Benton asked me to bring him coffee. You can ask someone else to deal with these data." As she spoke, she pushed the documents toward Nina. "Excuse me, please. Annabelle Hewitt." Nina was so angry, but she just didn't know how to express it. Nina was so jealous of her right now. She gritted her teeth in impotent rage as she watched Annabelle walk gracefully toward the door. Right there and then, she vowed to herself that Annabelle would not be proud and complacent for long. Meanwhile, Annabelle went to the pantry to get a cup of latte and then took it straight to the CEO's office. Standing in front of the door of the office, Annabelle thought of Rupert's handsome face, which made her heartbeat increase rapidly. She managed to compose herself and knocked on the door. "Come in," Rupert called in an icy tone. Annabelle pushed the door open and walked in. She put the coffee on his table and said, "Your coffee." Rupert narrowed his eyes and fixed them on Annabelle. Last night, he was drunk and he thought he had seen Candy. He thought that Candy had come back. But when he woke up this morning, it was Kathy who was sitting on his bed. She claimed she brought him to his room the previous night. But Kathy wasn't Candy. Or did he see her in his dream? But why was the dream so damn real? "If there's nothing else, I'd like to take my leave," Annabelle said, avoiding making eye contact with him. She felt a little uncomfortable under Rupert's gaze. When she was just about to turn around and leave, something occurred to her. She brought out the diamond button and handed it to Rupert. "By the way, this is yours. Here you are." Rupert lowered his head and in the process, he perceived the unique fragrance of her hand. It was exactly the same as last night's. He swiftly grabbed her hand and held it firmly, as if he was holding a rare treasure. His eyes twinkled and he said in a low and hoarse voice, "Candy, you are Candy." Chapter 36 Candy. Again. Who was Candy? Annabelle snapped, "Rupert, enough. Let go of my hand. Who the hell is Candy? Her attitude was like ice-cold water that poured on Rupert. It instantly extinguished his enthusiasm. Clearly, she was not Candy. Candy wouldn't resist him like this. Rupert let go of her hand and sat up straight. Then he leaned back in the chair again, his face now back to its usual coldness. He picked the button and asked, "Why was my button in your possession?" Annabelle rubbed her aching hand and said angrily, "You were drunk last night. You lay on the floor and refused to get up. I must have pulled the button off accidentally when I carried you upstairs." Rupert's eyebrows shot up. "So, you were the one who took me back to my room last night?" "Yes. But later, Kathy said she wanted to carry you. You two seem to be really close," Annabelle said with a meaning look. She wished Rupert could understand her insinuation. But Rupert was only thinking of Candy. Besides, he only saw Kathy as his cousin and never thought anything else of her, and neither did he know how she felt about him. As a result, he didn't understand what Annabelle implied. What happened last night came back to his mind again. Though he was drunk at the time, the feeling was very real. He knew he saw Candy. He held her hand and talked to her. Candy told him not to lie on the floor, and she pulled him up. All of this was real. Annabelle said she helped him up from the floor last night, so the person he saw last night was Annabelle. Yet, Annabelle was not Candy. But why did she inspire in him the same feeling as Candy did? Engulfed by a sudden wave of excitement, Rupert jumped up on his feet and strode to Annabelle. He looked down at her and asked with a slight smile, "Annabelle, have you never been kidnapped before?" Annabelle had never seen such tenderness in his eyes before. His low and attractive voice had a magic in it that could make one feel enchanted. But Annabelle was not really happy. If she remembered correctly, this was the second time that Rupert had asked her this question. Why did he care so much about whether or not she had been kidnapped in the past? She looked into his deep-set eyes and said in a serious tone, "Rupert, I don't know why you always like to ask me this question. I'll answer you for the last time. I've never been kidnapped before." Rupert fixed his eyes on Annabelle's eyes as if he wanted to probe into her soul. She answered him very seriously and frankly. Such a reaction could not be faked. Annabelle had never been kidnapped, which meant that she could not be Candy. Rupert's eyes went dim. Seeing the disappointment on his face, Annabelle felt curious and decided to probe further. She couldn't help asking, "Who is Candy?" "The girl you love. A girl who is very important to me," Rupert said after a brief moment of silence. He didn't know why he couldn't admit to Annabelle that he loved Candy. "Oh, okay." Seeing that Rupert was not eager to say any more, Annabelle stopped asking. "Are you jealous?" Rupert suddenly asked. "Jealous? No way. Why would she be jealous?" Annabelle couldn't help but scoff at his arrogance in her mind. Clearly, this man felt too good about himself. Did he think that every woman in the world would pursue and flatter him? Maybe there were several women who were pursuing and flattering him, but as far as Annabelle was concerned, she was an exception. Pursing her lips, Annabelle frowned and said, "Rupert, stop being stupid. I'm not interested in whatever you're up to. It's none of my business which girl you love. Just don't forget the relationship between us. We have only a 3-month contractual relationship. In fact, it's now less than 3 months. It's only 2 months and 3 weeks left. When the contract ends, we will become strangers. Do you understand? Strangers." When Rupert heard this word, he became very unhappy. He didn't know why he cared so much about this. Maybe it was because being with Annabelle made him feel like he was with Candy. This engagement of theirs was mandated by their grandfathers, and they had no real feelings for each other. Still, he treated her as a friend. But what about her? She saw him as just a stranger. "Annabelle, am I really just an insignificant stranger to you?" Rupert asked, reaching out to grab her arm. "What else could you be?" Annabelle asked with a shrug. Then she looked down at her arm, which was still being held tightly by Rupert. "You're hurting me, Rupert. Just let go of me." but Rupert didn't pay any heed to her and refused to let her go. His handsome face was hard and his brow was bunched up in a frown. There was a complicated emotion swirling in his eyes. Annabelle struggled but failed to free her arm from his grasp. She stopped struggling when she got tired. "Annabelle, what are you doing?" a female voice suddenly asked, breaking the silence in the room. Annabelle turned and looked at who was at the door. It was no one other than Heather. Seeing that Heather was glaring at her with jealousy in her eyes, Annabelle quickly snuggled up to Rupert and said, "What my fiancé and I are doing has nothing to do with you." Then she looked at Rupert and asked him affectionately, "Babe, do you agree?" "Babe." Well, that was a lovely name. Rupert's handsome face was still expressionless, but the corners of his mouth curled up slightly. Heather was so angry that her face turned red, while Finley, who was standing beside her, was fidgeting uneasily. "Mr. Benton, I'm sorry. I told Miss Norman that you were busy now, but she insisted on coming in." His boss was famous for his indifference. But he didn't like women getting close to him or staring at him. It was rare to find him making out with Annabelle, but now that he chose to do it, he was interrupted. Surprisingly, with only an impatient wave of his hand, Rupert gestured for Finley to leave. Finley felt relieved and quickly hurried out of the CEO's office. "Heather, why are you here?" Rupert asked, adjusting his tie and looking at her indifferently. With a smile that she thought was very charming, Heather walked up to Rupert and said in a soft voice, "Rupert, here's the thing. We have prepared a preliminary prospectus for the partnership between Benton Group and Norman Group. I brought it for you to see." "Isn't your brother in charge of the partnership?" Rupert asked with a frown. "He didn't have time today, so he asked me to bring it instead." Heather blushed. But the truth was that she had brought it just to have the opportunity to meet Rupert. Rupert turned back to Annabelle and said in an icy tone, "You can go. Did you hear that? Get out of here right now. I want to explain the prospectus to Rupert." Heather shouted at Annabelle. She was elated that Rupert spoke to Annabelle in such a manner. Chapter 37 An Unusual Meeting. "Heather, I said you should go out," Rupert ordered, his cold voice making her feel as if she had fallen into an ice cellar. "Rupert," Heather gasped, her eyes widened in disbelief. "But I haven't explained the prospectus to you yet." Rupert frowned and glanced at her impatiently. "Just drop it and go." "But my brother told me to explain it to you carefully," Heather insisted, wearing a sad and pained expression. Rupert was sending her out in the presence of Annabelle. This was really embarrassing for her. Rupert always used to be cold to her, but he had never driven her away like he was doing today. His attitude toward her changed the day Annabelle appeared. Rupert no longer even glanced in her direction. Now, he was driving her out. She blamed all of this on Annabelle. Seeing the frustrated look on Heather's face, Annabelle felt very delighted. To rub salt in Heather's wound, she said with a sneer, "Do you doubt my fiancé's ability? Do you think he can't read it by himself?" Ignoring her, Heather quickly grabbed Rupert's arm and explained anxiously, "I didn't mean that, Rupert." But Rupert pulled his arm out of her grip and told her with a frown, "Get out." Heather had no choice but to obey. She glared at Annabelle with fury in her eyes as she reluctantly walked out of the CEO's office. "Well done," Annabelle said to Rupert after Heather was gone. "So, I'm not a stranger after all?" Rupert asked jokingly. "Why did you call me your fiancé?" Annabelle smiled and shrugged. "Well, you love candy, right? I'm only helping you drive other women away. You don't want candy to know that so many women are pestering you." "Candy." Hearing the name from Annabelle's lips, Rupert had complicated feelings. "If there is nothing else, I'll take my leave," Annabelle said and walked out of his office. Heather was standing outside the CEO's office with an angry look. Seeing Annabelle coming out of the office, she stretched out her leg in the hope of tripping her up. But Annabelle stepped over it safely. "Didn't my fiancé just ask you to leave this company?" What are you still doing here standing at the door? Are you guarding the door? Annabelle asked in a mocking tone. Annabelle, what did you say? Heather fumed. Annabelle likened her to a guard dog. Ignoring her, Annabelle turned to Finley and told him, We don't allow outsiders to stay too long in our company, right? Why don't you ask her to leave right now? Annabelle, how dare you try to drive me away? Heather shouted. She was so furious that her body was practically trembling. The fact that Rupert drove her away was not out of place. At least, he owned the company. But what right did Annabelle have to drive her away? Miss Norman, please leave. Finley said, stopping Heather from marching up to her rival. Annabelle, on the other hand, did not even wait to listen to Heather any further. She simply turned and went back to the secretarial department without looking back. But she'd hardly settled down behind her desk when the landline rang again. The call was again from Rupert again. Frowning, Annabelle picked up the phone and answered it. Rupert, why are you still calling me? Come to the conference room for a meeting, Rupert said from the other end of the line. A meeting? What meeting? Annabelle asked in confusion. The meeting about the cooperation project with Lady Fashion, Rupert said in a low voice. Oh, okay then. When Annabelle arrived at the meeting room with the relevant documents about the project, she found that Rupert was already seated there. He sat upright at the head of the table, wearing a perfectly cut black suit, which made him look quite domineering. As usual, his face was expressionless. He looked very elegant and noble, quite like a supreme emperor overlooking his dominions. Nina, Bernice, and Anais, the designers of the project, were also in attendance. Seeing Annabelle come in, all eyes focused on her. Try not to be late for the next meeting. Rupert cautioned, throwing her an indifferent glance and motioning for her to sit down. Annabelle was surprised. How could he say she was late? She was not given prior notice of the meeting. Clearly, Nina was the one behind it. Without saying anything, Annabelle found a seat and sat down. Rupert then signaled for the meeting to begin. Nina cleared her throat and started, I've been in charge of the early stage of the Lady Fashion project, but next season's launch will be under the supervision of Annabelle. Annabelle, please explain the overall situation of the project to Mr. Benton. She had not told Annabelle about this meeting at all. So, Annabelle had not prepared for it in any way. As for the details about the project, the information she had given to Annabelle so far was negligible. Knowing that Annabelle didn't have much knowledge about this project, she was sure that there was no way she could give a good presentation to the CEO. Satisfied with the trap she had set, Nina looked at Annabelle with a smile, waiting for her to make a fool of herself in front of everyone. Annabelle could see through Nina's trick. She stood up calmly and said point blank, I'm sorry. No one informed me of this meeting beforehand, so I didn't prepare for it. No one informed you? Rupert asked in surprise. I asked my assistant to send an email to everyone in our department. How can you say no one informed you? Nina said innocently, pretending to be shocked. Or did you simply forget? How can you forget about such an important meeting? That's very careless and irresponsible. Rupert was always strict with his staff. If it was found that Annabelle forgot to prepare for the meeting due to her carelessness, she would be severely punished or even fired from the company. But Annabelle didn't seem fazed. With a faint smile, she said to Nina, I didn't receive it. There is a record of every email I received. Even if it gets deleted, it can always be restored. I'm not so stupid as to lie about something like this. Nina's expression darkened and she scowled in anger. Did Annabelle just imply that she was stupid? She turned to Rupert and asked, Mr. Benton, since Annabelle isn't ready, should we reschedule this meeting to another date? There's no need for that, Annabelle said even before Rupert could respond. Rupert's eyebrows shot up in surprise. I thought you said you were not prepared. I was not. But that won't hinder the meeting, Annabelle said confidently. To the surprise of everyone present, Annabelle calmly walked over to the whiteboard, picked up the marker, and said, "As the person in charge of a project, I should know the project like the back of my hand. I should be able to introduce the details of the project to others at any time, and I don't need to make special preparations for that." Nina scoffed when she heard this. Why was Annabelle being so arrogant? Even she, who had been in charge of the project for nearly a year, could not introduce the whole project without adequate preparation. It had only been less than a week since Annabelle took over the project. What had she learned about it that gave her so much confidence? She was eagerly waiting to see how Annabelle would make a fool of herself in front of Rupert and the others. Meanwhile, Rupert leaned back in his chair with his legs crossed casually. With a thoughtful look, he looked at the calm and confident figure of Annabelle. Could she really introduce the project without sufficient preparation? Chapter 38 You surprised me. Annabelle cleared her throat and said with a confident smile, "Now, let me introduce the overall situation and progress of the Lady Fashion project to you." With the pen, she drew the flow chart of the whole project on the whiteboard while explaining the general details of the project. Her words were clear and easy to understand. Nina looked at her in disbelief. She was so shocked that she didn't even realize that her nails were digging into her flesh. How could it be possible? How could Annabelle introduce the whole project so fluently and clearly without any preparation? And she even drew a wonderful chart too. There had to be a mistake somewhere. Somehow, Annabelle must have found out about the meeting and secretly prepared for it. Nina had planned to make a fool of Annabelle in public, but she only ended up giving Annabelle the chance to stand out. As far as she was concerned, Annabelle was a bitch. And she vowed to herself that she would kick this bitch out of Benton Group one day. Rupert was also very surprised. His eyes were fixed on Annabelle as she went on with the introduction. She was wearing a light pink business skirt and a white shirt. In the soft ambience of the conference room, she looked very elegant and capable. Her cherry red lips, which looked very sexy, made Rupert long to kiss her again. "Well, that's all. I'm done. Is there anything that's not properly understood?" Annabelle asked, looking around the room with a smile. All the participants seemed highly impressed by her smooth explanation and there were no complaints or questions heard from anyone. Rupert's eyes had been fixed on Annabelle throughout the duration of the presentation. Seeing her walking toward him, he couldn't help but swallow hard. He felt Annabelle was amazing. She exuded a noble temperament, and she looked so elegant and confident, like a queen. But wasn't she from the countryside? Didn't they say that she was a bumpkin who knew nothing? Why was she so amazing? It seemed there was more to Annabelle than met the eye. "Mr. Benton, is there any problem?" Annabelle asked with a faint smile when she noticed that Rupert was still staring at her. "No," Rupert said with those sexy thin lips of his. "Since there's no problem, please let the chief designer, Anais, introduce the designs to us." Annabelle returned to her seat and signaled for Anais to show the designs to everyone. Anais quickly unfolded the design drawings and began showing them to Rupert. "The theme is ice and fire. We are going to launch a set of high-quality jewelry including necklace, ring, and bracelet. These are my drawings." Rupert frowned. Apparently, he was not satisfied with the drawings. He turned to look at Annabelle and asked in a low voice, "What's your opinion?" Annabelle looked at the drawings for a moment. The patterns were exquisite, with a lot of popular elements added. It was obvious that Anais had designed them carefully. But as far as Annabelle was concerned, they could only be regarded as mediocre and unremarkable. Judging from the expression on Rupert's face, he obviously thought the same. But why did he have to ask for her opinion? Wasn't it obvious that this was only going to make her an enemy to the designer? Annabelle glared at the scheming man and shook her head. Then she spoke her mind. "Lady Fashion's orientation is mostly for ladies between 30 and 50 years old, so our designs should show their elegance. Anais' designs are very beautiful, but they are a bit too ordinary. There are elements in them that are soulless." Anais' expression changed. Annabelle ignored her expression and continued, "To put it simply, they are too vulgar. If a designer wants to draw a perfect design, the most important thing is to pour into their own feelings and give the design a soul of its own to make it unique." Hearing this, even Bernice began to feel embarrassed. Even though the chief designer was an ace, as the director of the jewelry design department, Bernice had given an ace a lot of her opinions. At the end, an ace received her approval to show them to Rupert. Now, the designs were being criticized by Annabelle in the presence of Rupert. As far as Bernice was concerned, this was very damaging for the reputation of the design department. Before Bernice could fire a retort at Annabelle, Rupert nodded his head in agreement. "Right, it's truly vulgar." He had not expected that Annabelle's opinion would be exactly the same as his. He narrowed his eyes and stared at her in surprise, wondering why she knew so much. "Well, we'll modify it," Bernice said with a forced smile. Then she said to Anace, "Try to do a much better job, okay?" Anace blushed and nodded. The leader of the Lady Fashion Project will be visiting Daubug next week. This time, their president will come along, so we must have perfect work to display. Rupert pointed out in a very serious tone. "We will go all out and create the best." Through gritted teeth, Bernice promised that they would come up with nothing but perfect designs. "Annabelle, keep an eye on the progress," Rupert said with a glance at Annabelle. Annabelle couldn't believe it. It had nothing to do with her. She wasn't even a designer, and she didn't contribute to the designs in any way. But being the project director, she could only nod stiffly and take the credit that she felt she did not deserve. After the meeting, everyone stood up and left the conference room. Annabelle packed up her things and was about to go out when she heard Rupert's magnetic voice from behind. "Annabelle, please stay." Annabelle paused and turned around. "What else can I do for you?" Rupert strode over to her and stared down at her face in silence. After a while, he asked in a soft voice, "Do you know a lot about jewelry design?" "I know a little about it," Annabelle said with a slight smile. She was good at fashion design in general, so good that jewelry design was just a small case for her. "You surprise me," Rupert murmured, his deep eyes full of curiosity. Annabelle simply shrugged and said nothing. Was what she had done really surprising to him? What if Rupert knew her true identity? Would he be more shocked? When she saw that he had nothing else to say, Annabelle turned around and went to the bathroom. As soon as she entered the bathroom, she heard a low female voice coming from one of the stalls. It seemed like Nina's voice, and she mentioned her name. Annabelle stopped to listen carefully. Nina was saying in a jealous and angry tone, "Miss Norman, don't worry. Our plan will be perfect. I will certainly kick Annabelle out of Benton Group." "Miss Norman? Heather?" So, Nina was colluding with Heather? It seemed they had both set a trap to frame her. With narrowed eyes, Annabelle decided to fight back. Annabelle was never a pushover, and she would not be nice if Nina and Heather provoked her again. Chapter 39: A Good Show Is On. The week went by quickly. Surprisingly, it was not really an eventful week. Heather didn't show up at Benton Group again, and Nina didn't give Annabelle any more trouble. But Annabelle knew they wouldn't let her go so easily. She knew it was the calm before the storm. On the appointed day, Brett McCoy, the CEO of Lady Fashion, came on a visit to Benton Group. Being the person in charge of the Lady Fashion project, Annabelle would pick him up at the airport. Before leaving, she checked and made sure that the materials needed for the meeting later in the afternoon were ready. After making sure everything was okay, Annabelle stood up and got ready to go to the airport. But as she went out to take the elevator, she saw that the doors were about to close. She rushed over, shouting, "Wait for me, please." A tall figure walked over and put out his foot to keep the doors open. "Thank you so much," Annabelle said gratefully. But when she looked up at the person's face, she was stunned. It was Rupert. Why was he here? She was surprised at the fact that he even kept the elevator doors open for her. Seeing the surprised look on her face, Rupert said in a low tone, "Come in quickly."
"Oh, thank you," Annabelle said with a smile and stepped into the elevator.
Rupert quickly followed her in.
"I'll go to the airport with you," Rupert said flatly when he noticed Annabelle's confused look.
Annabelle was surprised.
"Don't worry, I'll go alone," she quickly said.
How could Rupert go with her to pick someone up at the airport? He was a busy CEO, for crying out loud. But Rupert didn't seem to agree with Annabelle. With his hands in his pockets, he stood beside her, giving off an inexplicable sense of dominance. After a brief moment of silence, he gave Annabelle a meaning look and mumbled, "Brett is my friend. Of course, I have to go meet him personally to show my sincerity." In fact, he didn't need to pick Brett up in person. But when he heard that Annabelle was going to pick him up at the airport, Rupert decided to go with her. Annabelle nodded in understanding and said nothing. In silence, they rode the elevator all the way to the underground garage. Rupert had come to work in a Rolls-Royce earlier in the morning. He opened the door of the car and motioned for Annabelle to get in.
"Thank you."
Annabelle smiled and settled down in the passenger seat, fastening her seatbelt. Rupert then got in and started the car. With his slender fingers gripping the steering wheel, he asked calmly, "Have you prepared for the meeting with Lady Fashion this afternoon?" Annabelle puckered her lips and answered firmly, "Of course, I have no problems with that at all." She knew the meeting was not going to be simple. It was a big deal with a lot at stake. But she was looking forward to it nonetheless. An hour later, they arrived at the airport. Annabelle looked down at her watch. There were still 10 minutes to go before Brett's flight would arrive.
"I'm going to the bathroom," Annabelle said to Rupert.
Rupert nodded in acknowledgement, and she rushed off. When she got to the bathroom, Annabelle sent a message to someone.
"How is it going?"
Before long, she received a reply.
"Everything is going well."
Annabelle nodded in satisfaction. It seemed that the big show in the afternoon would go down well. Everything was under control. When she finally returned to the hall, Brett's plane had already landed and he had gotten off. Brett was a Frenchman. He was 30 years old, tall and burly, with blonde hair and fair skin.
"Hi, Rupert."
Brett greeted Rupert happily, giving him a warm hug.
"It's been a while," Rupert said, keeping an expressionless face.
With a polite smile, Annabelle stepped forward and greeted Brett in French.
"Who is this beautiful lady?"
Brett asked Rupert, looking at Annabelle with amazement in his blue eyes. Frowning, Rupert introduced Annabelle to him.
"This is Annabelle. She is in charge of the project."
Rupert never expected that Annabelle would speak French. His fiancée was not only far from being a country bumpkin, but she was also a very excellent woman. She was excellent enough to attract everyone's attention, just like she had attracted Brett's just now. Brett stretched out his arms wide open to hug Annabelle.
"You're very beautiful. Have we met before?"
Annabelle only stretched out her hand and politely shook hands with him.
"I don't think so."
But the truth was that, she had met Brett once before. When Annabelle and her grandpa were traveling in France, she met Brett at a banquet. But she was a 15-year-old girl at that time. Fortunately, Brett couldn't recognize her anymore. This was very good for her, since she didn't want to be exposed so soon. Together, Annabelle and Rupert escorted Brett and his assistant back to Benton Group. Later, at 2 o'clock prompt, the meeting officially began. This time, Annabelle prepared a beautiful PowerPoint presentation. Though Brett could speak English, Annabelle gave a wonderful speech in French, explaining the progress of the whole project. The French speakers in the room, especially Brett, nodded frequently, expressing their admiration and approval. Seeing that Annabelle was being outstanding again, Nina's eyes hardened in jealousy and she clenched her fists tightly.
"Annabelle, just wait and see. A good show is about to begin. Let's see how long you can stay on top. Very soon, you'll be kicked out."
she said to herself. After the speech, Annabelle was warmly applauded. Even Rupert was not economical with his applause. With a faint smile and a nod of gratitude, Annabelle continued, "At this stage, let's look at the specific drawings." Then she picked the folder and brought out the drawings. But when she saw what she was holding, her expression changed. Everyone present gasped in surprise. They all saw as Annabelle took out a few sheets of blank paper from the file that was supposed to contain the drawings. But only one person wasn't shocked. It was Nina. And she was the first to ask, "Annabelle, what are you doing?" Being the project director, all the materials were brought to the conference room by Annabelle after she had checked them herself. Now, the drawings were gone. And they had been replaced with several sheets of blank paper. It was obvious that Annabelle would have to take all the responsibility. Rupert would never forgive such a low-level mistake in an important meeting. It was expected that he would fire Annabelle. Nina stole a glance at Rupert to see how he felt. Just as she expected, his handsome face was dark, and his tightly pursed lips indicated his extreme displeasure. A hint of happiness flashed through Nina's eyes. But maintaining a blank face, she started to scold Annabelle in a voice loud enough for everyone to hear. "As the project director, how can you possibly lose the drawings? How dare you use some sheets of blank papers to fool us? We cannot allow an irresponsible person like you to continue working here." Too, Rupert's face darkened even more. He looked at Annabelle and asked, "What's wrong?" Chapter 40 Impossible to Complete. The drawings were lost? And they had been replaced with some blank sheets of paper? Rupert didn't think that Annabelle was capable of making such a stupid mistake, so he was eager to hear her explanation. But Annabelle didn't intend to give any explanation. Instead, she said with a straight face, "Let's not discuss this problem right now." Turning to Bernice, Annabelle asked, "Is there a backup of the drawings?" With a disdainful look, Bernice replied, "Don't you know that all our jewelry design drawings are handmade? How could they have backups? Don't you have the common sense to figure this out?" Annabelle nodded in understanding and asked calmly, "Then how long will it take to redo the drawings?" "At least 2 days," Bernice answered unhesitatingly. "What do you mean by that, Annabelle?" Nina demanded, glaring at her. "Are you thinking of postponing the meeting? And then wait 2 days for the design department to redo the drawings? You want Mr. McCoy, who came from afar, to wait for 2 days just so you can make up for your stupid mistake? Who said it would take 2 days?" "Just give me an hour," Annabelle said calmly. "An hour? How can that be possible? Didn't you hear Bernice say it would take at least 2 days?" Nina asked in a haughty tone. The calm and unhurried expression on Annabelle's face really disgusted and irritated her. Annabelle was in serious trouble, yet she was still so calm. Nina just couldn't stand that confident look on her face. "She needs 2 days, but it doesn't mean that I need 2 days too. If she can't do it, that doesn't mean I can't," Annabelle pointed out confidently. "It will only take me an hour." After a brief pause, Annabelle turned to Brett and asked, "Mr. McCoy, would you please give us an hour?" "No problem at all," Brett agreed without any hesitation. He was also curious to see what Annabelle would do. Even Rupert was curious too. He glanced at Annabelle and asked coldly, "So, what do you mean?" "Of course, I'll have to draw new designs," Annabelle said with a smile. Rupert's eyes widened in surprise. So, Annabelle was going to draw the designs by herself? And it would only take her an hour to finish them? How could that be possible? "Stop kidding, Annabelle," Nina scolded, as if Annabelle had just described some sort of fantasy. "It's just impossible." "Then kindly wait and see," Annabelle said as she sat down and turned on her laptop. In full view of everyone, she clicked the drawing software she had designed and opened it. Of course, it was impossible to finish the drawings by hand in an hour, but Annabelle could do it with this software. She projected her computer screen to the larger monitor, grabbed the mouse, and began to work on the design skillfully and carefully. As the mouse moved all over the screen, the beautiful drawings gradually began to materialize. The conference room fell silent all of a sudden. Everyone stared at the projector in shock and disbelief. Eventually, it took only 1 hour for Annabelle to finish the work that even a skilled designer would need 2 days to complete. "All done," Annabelle announced after applying the final stroke, and breathed a deep sigh of relief. "It was all done, nicely and perfectly." She looked down at her watch. There was still 5 minutes left to complete an hour. Staring at the designs on the screen, Rupert was amazed. The three design drawings of the ring, necklace, and bracelet were lifelike and perfect. There were several slight differences between the designs drawn by Annabelle and the previous ones drawn by the design department. It was these changes Annabelle made that gave the jewelry a unique soul and made people so attracted to it. Even the chief designer of the jewelry design department couldn't do this, but Annabelle did. How many more surprises would Annabelle give him? Nina stared wide-eyed at the drawings, speechless for what seemed like forever. How was it possible? How could Annabelle finish all those drawings in less than an hour? Wasn't she just a bumpkin from the countryside? How come she was able to draw such complicated designs? 7. Since Annabelle had succeeded with the designs, it meant that her plan failed again. Nina felt very bad, but she could not show it. She could only bite her lip and glare at Annabelle secretly. Facing the still astonished group, Annabelle cleared her throat and focused on Brett with a smile. "I'm sorry, Mr. McCoy. There was a small accident. But now, I've recreated the designs." She turned to the projector and began to explain the designs to him. "This is our ice and fire series. White represents ice, and red represents fire. That's the theme of this issue." "Good." Brett nodded, giving Annabelle a thumbs up. "I like your designs very much, especially the idea of double spinning. It's very good." The idea of double spinning was created by Annabelle herself. She had mentioned it to Bernice earlier, but Bernice ignored her and did what she liked. As a result, Annabelle never had any intention of showing Bernice's designs to Brett. She had already figured that Nina would set a trap for her in the meeting, so she played along and walked into the trap so she could draw her own designs in front of everyone, which she did and ended up surprising her audience. "Mr. McCoy, is there any problem? Is there anything you think should be modified?" Annabelle asked with a polite smile. Brett shook his head. No, not at all. It's perfect. Since you're satisfied with it, we will put it into production and launch the Ice and Fire series as soon as possible. I believe the series will achieve more than the expected results," Annabelle said in a confident tone. "Of course. And I'm looking forward to working with such an excellent person like you again in the future." Since Brett was satisfied with the designs and had no complaints whatsoever, there was nothing else to be said and done. Hence, the meeting was ended. Brett was intent on going to the hotel to have some rest, so he left immediately with his assistant. Watching him leave, both Nina and Bernice looked sullen and disappointed. As the director of the design department, Bernice had led her subordinates to perfect the revised drawings in the past few days, but they still turned out to be not as good as those drawn by an outsider. She felt so humiliated. How could she convince the CEO of her professionalism in the future? Nina, who had undertaken the task of stealing the drawings, thought that Annabelle would be dismissed by Rupert for dereliction of duty. But Annabelle not only solved the issue but also ended up making herself stand out. Even Brett praised her. Eventually, Nina and Bernice both stood up to leave, but Annabelle called after them in a loud voice, "Wait.